Welcome back, WNST, Taos in Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive.
Baltimore.
Fadley's, Lexington Market. Look at this. We've got crabs on the set here.
How many people saw you open one of these a couple of months?
2.1 million people watched Amy Hahn and I do a crab.
As Matt Gallagher and I just looked on.
We're going to have real trouble. It's our third segment. We have the Madam Chair, the Honorable Maggie McIntosh, joining us here from the 43rd District. And you're really going to struggle in this segment because you want crabs, despite the fact that you grew up in Kansas.
That's right.
Like Amy's dad did.
Yeah, but this is my favorite part of being on this show this morning. Her dad grew up in Kansas, too.
Parsons, how far away? Where is town?
I would say Parsons is no more than an hour away, maybe an hour and 15 from
that's
where
nothing
I grew up.
In Kansas.
Parsons,
I'm
Kansas.
I'm Google mapping it right
it
now.
It is nothing. You're right.
That's nothing.
Let me
in
tell
Kansas.
You something. Thanksgiving, we drove 7 hours and we were still in Kansas. I mean it. You know, I was like, oh.
And her dog's not even named Toto.
Did you get there in time for the turkey, though?
There right. you go.
Yeah, there it is. Where's Parsons?
So that's the southeast corner. That's near Joplin. That's Parsons there.
Right
what part are you from?
Wait a minute. See Independence?
Yeah.
All right. I'm from, they don't even put little Neodesha on there, but I'm right there near Independence.
Neodesha.
Hey, there it is. Neodesha. Look at that. Neodesha,
Kansas. 75, right there. Right
oh, my God. Near Parsons.
Well, I'm going to ask you this, then. When's the first time you saw a crab?
When I moved to Baltimore.
There
and
you go.
Loved
now, were
them.
You one of those people and said, I don't want to pick them. It's too much work.
No.
You know, I get a little bit of that.
No, I like that.
You're diving in.
I like all that.
Well, we're
very tactical.
Let's dive in. We had Senator Bill Ferguson on recently.
Oh, my God.
Fighting
oh my
for
God.
The recommendations of the Kerwin Commission.
Is he the greatest or what?
Well, his description of Kerwin, again, I say to folks, go back to previous episodes, actually, and listen to all three episodes with Senator Ferguson. Incredible description of why Kerwin. But now I'm going to turn to you. I mean, you're right in the middle of this fight, and you get angry when you talk about it. So $3.8 billion, Maggie, I'm going to tee it up.
Yeah, for Ferguson, the 33-minute filibuster. Right. Let's go. What do you got
How can we afford? I'm going to play the other side. How can we afford $3.8 billion in 10 years?
How can we not afford it is the real answer to that question. Because, quite frankly, if we did nothing, our current formulas would grow by 1.8, almost 1.9 million. So that 3.8 subtract, you know, 1.8 from half, you know, they would grow anyway. So what Kerwin does is it increases both state and local spending to, and by the way, of that remaining 1.8, it's a combination of city, county, and state. To do a number of things in our educational system that are major structural reforms that need to be done to get our kids in a place where they are competing not only with other states that are moving in this direction now, but other countries. Because this is a global enterprise that we're involved in here. I mean, we are no longer competing just with Parsons and Neodesha. Bottom line. We already have figured out the revenue sources to pay for this the first 3 years. Already done. We did that last year as we rolled out.
Is that the $850 million?
Yes, we have already figured out. And one of the ways we did it, I'll tell you, is the lockbox bill that came. It was on the voting ballot where a voter said we want all that money that came from the casinos to the Education Trust Fund to be in a lockbox and to go directly to fund our expansion and reform in our education. And we're going to talk about school construction. Some of that money's coming into school construction. The rest will go into the Kerwin or blueprint reforms.
Well, let me stop you because I want to be real clear for our listeners and our viewers. The latest that I saw was that in addition to the $3.8 billion for Kerwin, we're now looking at trying to find $2.2 billion for school construction. Mm-hmm. Are those numbers accurate?
That's correct.
As of the time we go to
And I'll tell you how we do that. The school construction is already paid for. Don't have to do anything else. Already paid for. It's just pass the bill and capture the money. And
how's it paid for?
The lockbox money.
Okay.
The
okay.
casino money. $125 million will come each year for 30 years to pay for the bonds that will be we go out on the bond market through the Maryland Stadium Authority. It will create $2.2 to $2.3 million. Is that right?
Billion, for
school construction. And it means Baltimore County, Baltimore City, Montgomery, Prince George's, the major large counties, Howard and Frederick, will get to do a very robust school construction program. They will be able to renovate, do major renovations in schools that need it, and kids in these counties hopefully come out with world-class buildings to go to school, to do robotics and all the things that, you know, kids are now doing in high school. They'll build shops. They'll build, you know, a number of things. In some cases, we have schools that don't have athletic facilities, you know, and so those things will happen. But the bottom line is more students in Maryland will be able to walk into a classroom and not into a portable classroom.
Or not have snow on the floor.
That's
or have
right.
to wear
or
winter
not
jacket.
Not have heat and not have air conditioning.
You lobbed a couple of hand grenades at Hogan about raising dark money. What's the impetus of money being raised to fight education? Like, I understand it doesn't play to your base in certain places to say we're going to fix those schools in Baltimore because they're somewhere that thinks Baltimore's not in Maryland, quite frankly. But the notion that anyone would fight this, what is the ideology behind that?
And Nestor, let me piggyback on your question because it's bigger, and I love the question. Right. I want the chair to talk about it. But tie into that, to what Nestor just asked, where a governor went out and said that we're going to need a 39% increase in the income tax. We're going to need an 89% increase in the sales tax. We're going to need a 535% increase in the property tax. And right off the bat, every Marylander is going to pay $6,000 more.
Well, that's terrorism. That's just terrorism.
Tying into Nestor, I will tell you up front, Senator Ferguson didn't miss words. He said, that's a lie.
It's a lie. It's voodoo. It's terrorism. It's trying to scare people and trying to say, you know, those kids in Baltimore or Baltimore County or wherever, you know, don't need this. It's, you know.
So go to Nestor's question.
Political capital, real capital, ideological legacy.
You're trying to figure out why.
Why does Larry Hogan get out of bed? And this is the thing he's getting up every day to do lately is fight education. I can't imagine that can be a winning strategy.
I can't either. And the only thing that somebody said to me the other day that they may be right about, I'd never thought about it, that he's running to be on, you know, like Fox 45, right. You know, that he wants to be a commentator on some, you know, real conservative, you know, hater kind of, you know, talk show. Not lift Baltimore, but tear Baltimore down.
Because the typical approach, you've been down there how many years now?
26.
Okay, 26. 27. So, Republican governor, Democratic governor, my sense is, having been involved, paid close attention for many of those decades as well, is that what would happen with a major proposal from a commission like this, to which the governor had appointments,
right,
would be if the governor was worried about how to fund it, they would roll their sleeves with their folks,
right,
come in and sit down with the leadership, others, and say, okay,
let's figure it out.
How do we figure this out? Am I right in that?
Absolutely. I mean, we have never had this experience before, both with a major kind of commitment like we have to Kerwin, and we haven't had this kind of reaction, which is very, I mean, almost juvenile when it comes to the way he treats our state budget. You know, I'll give you an example. We got a consent decree in Baltimore City. The police and the cars, they need technology. They're running around with, you know, no technology. We found money to fund that. We fenced it off, as we say. We found the money to fund it. He's holding it. He won't let it go. I mean, so I don't understand this
at all. Well, the transportation money down in D.C. as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. He's got a fence. He won't let it go. And so I don't know, because Bob Ehrlich would never have done this.
I voted for Bob Ehrlich. I want to point that out. Everybody accuses me of being a bleeding heart Bernie guy. You know,
you were a Bob Ehrlich guy from
Bob
the beginning.
Bob Ehrlich presided at my wedding in 2003.
We've never had a governor that treated the legislative leaders and the legislature with such disdain. And by the way, he does it for both Democrat and Republican. There is no I mean, I don't think I haven't seen him. I haven't heard any of the Republicans on the House side say, "Oh yeah, we love him. He treats us nice." Part of the money that's being withheld right now, that isn't being let go, is a very important project that the leader of the Republican Party in the House brought to me.
Well, all right, Madam Chair.
Yeah.
Let's go back. Be a teacher again.
Okay.
We are on a collision course.
Mm-hmm.
The assembly begins in 2 months.
Right.
How does this play out? How do we work through this? Because you don't want to just
fight. Is every teacher for this? Every teacher.
I can't answer that, overwhelming.
Right? Yeah. I mean, wouldn't the teachers be the ones that would start the fight?
Go back to the poll. Here's what we know. And then we're going to get the delegate to tell us how we work through it. We know that in the most recent Goucher poll, Malia Cromer, the gold standard in the state, 75% of the people, when asked, said they were willing to pay higher taxes to increase the quality of education. Mm-hmm. We also know that more than 70% of the people in that poll had no idea what Kerwin was. Mm-hmm. I will tell you, that was validated for me last night when I was looking at my Kerwin stuff again. And my wife, former teacher, nobody more of an education advocate than she, says to me, "Refresh my memory again. What is Kerwin?" And I thought, okay.
Go watch Bill Gallagher.
Houston, we've got a problem.
Right, I agree.
So how do we work through it, Maggie? That it's not just a battle royale down there.
Nah,
how do we get to consensus?
Well, I don't know if we can get to consensus with Hogan. I mean, he won't come and meet with the commission. You know, we extended an invitation. I don't know if we can get to consensus with him. But I do think that there's growing consensus about the need to reform our educational system and growing consensus that there's a path to pay for it. That absolutely, it's a lie. It does not raise.
Yeah, these numbers.
That's crazy.
Quite honestly, the scary part, and again, let me repeat them for our folks who are listening. The governor says it's going to be a 39% income tax increase, an 89% sales tax increase, a 535% property tax increase, and every taxpayer is going to have to pay $6,000 more. You, Senator Ferguson, and others aren't sugarcoating it.
No.
That's a lie.
That's a lie.
So that's not how we're going to pay for that.
No.
So those of you out there worried about this, this is not how it's going to be paid for. So you've got about half of it paid for. How do you get to the rest of Kerwin?
We have half of it paid for by just doing nothing.
Correct.
I mean, and so you got it. All right. So here's some of the things that we're looking at. Okay. One of the bills that we passed last year, a year before last, was called the Wayfair bill. Okay. So we all know. Do you know who Wayfair is? All right. So we passed Amazon.
Get a nice little couch delivered to your house today.
Yeah. We did Amazon and we did Wayfair. So basically, what we're doing is looking at our tax and sales tax, you know, and saying, how have things changed? More people are ordering things online. And so Amazon, we captured the sales tax from that because they moved into the state. And then we had the Wayfair bill. And it's capturing tax from Wayfair, from Overstock.com, all of that kind of stuff, where they basically, in some cases, were collecting sales tax, but not sending it to the states, okay?
Taking 7% and putting it in their pocket in some cases.
Yeah.
Maybe 9%
in
other states.
So anyway, bottom line is we are now capturing that money. It's amazing how much online sales tax is now coming into this state. It's amazing. And we dedicated some of that to pay for education reform. So that's one. We have passed sports betting, and we are now going to structurally set that up in the state. That will also...
What kind of spending?
Sports
betting.
Oh, gotcha.
That will also, you know, help pay for it. We're looking at also, you know, downstreaming, downloading. If you go out here and go to Barnes & Noble and buy a book, you pay sales tax. You can download those books in many places, and you don't pay sales tax.
Where's all the cannabis dough going? That seems to be new money in the last 3-4 years.
Yeah, and that is something we have a work group that's looking at that's going to make a decision about whether or not to put that on the ballot, okay? I mean, I was just in California. I visited several states that have, you know, legalized marijuana, and it's better regulated in many states. Some states it isn't. I mean, if we do this, I think we have to be careful and cautious to do it right. I think the voters have to decide.
So this is going to be.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now, if our economy stays strong.
Right.
There is a model or two out there that says that's about all we have to do.
Of course, people will push back, and I'm trying to be fair. They will say, same thing happened in Thornton back in 2002, right? That where the first several years of Thornton, when the economy was strong, things went well. As the senator pointed out, graduation rates went up, dropout rates went down. We hit the Great Recession. Mm-hmm. We cut the funding.
Right.
We didn't get the same results, and we never really filled that gap. So,
right, and we got to not let that happen with this.
How do we do that? How do we guard against that kind of economic downturn?
Well, I think it will be difficult to guard against it with the president that we have at the helm. But I think Maryland economy is doing very well. It is. It still is. And we see slowing in some sectors, but we see income, coming in. Our revenues are strong. We're going to go into this year. Our revenues are very strong. So, you know, we can deal with whatever is ahead of us. But let me just say this, that we can't guard against sometimes, you know, the top-down national recession. But we can build into this bill a trigger that says if that happens, here's what the legislature has to do. And we build in a protection so that the schools do not suffer and so that we figure out ways to reshuffle our deck to pay for Kerwin. I don't think we can afford to let this slide like we did with Thornton. And by the way, that was the greatest recession this country's ever seen. Mm-hmm. I really don't believe that's around the corner for us.
Good. Yes, I want to get a last shot in because the Baltimore part of Baltimore Positive, we talk about Kerwin, and why are we talking about it so much? Because we would say at the root of Baltimore's issues are crime, education, and poverty, right? The educational part, this is something that would address that for not just for Baltimore, but for the whole state. But drilling down into Baltimore, crime, you talked about consent decree. Commissioner Harrison's coming on with us next month, right?
Good.
Here at Fadley's.
Good.
That's on December something. I'll tell Damien in a couple minutes when I get the right date on that. For you with Baltimore, just a final shot, we're Baltimore Positive.
Now,
fix Baltimore for me. You run for mayor, I vote for you. You become mayor next year. What does the next mayor have to do other than hopefully fight for Kerwin and get schools and get heat on and fix the police and consent decree? Next mayor, the thoughts about the next 6 to 12 months there.
You got it. In addition to caring about things like a new convention center to keep that kind of revenue stream coming in addition to caring about how to fix this state center debacle we have down the street here to keep 3,600 jobs in the city, in addition to trying to figure out how to continue to stimulate community and commercial and business redevelopment, the next mayor needs to focus like a laser on how to get communities and people out of poverty. And that means going into those communities, investing in housing, schools, job opportunity, treatment, mental health treatment, all sorts of things. And you do have to, clean up, the Police Departments Act. You have to police the police department while you're expanding crime fighting in this city.
You're supporting, it's interesting, people make this dichotomy.
Now,
we're totally supportive of the police department, but saying, we've got to do it right.
Let me tell you something. One of the challenges this next mayor and this mayor and the next mayor are going to face is how to pay for all these lawsuits. I mean, isn't that a shame that instead of putting that money into education or housing or drug treatment or job creation, we're paying off these? That's crazy.
Paying for mistakes.
Yeah.
And not to mention, Maggie, and you know so true, as you work through your neighborhoods, every time there is an incident, and again, I'm someone who has family in law enforcement, have the utmost respect for them, thank them for their service every day, but every time someone as a member of a police department does something outside the lines, it also really does damage to the trust and in the neighborhoods.
Right.
And when people don't trust us, we can't protect them.
Right. And there is this whole movement that I think is very important. People like Bill Ferguson, Brooke Learman, you know, several others have worked on this. Keith Haynes, by the way, has worked on this, and it's just a kind of a public health approach to addressing crime. But it is where you take, you know, the resources we have in health and public health and education, put it up front in those families and in those children, and keep them in school, and put really invest up front rather than wait till the back end where they slip off the grid and go into a juvenile system or an adult system.
Maggie,
really
talk about the violence and what is always the elephant in the room. It's certainly the homicide rate, and then we always talk about and guns.
Yeah. I hate guns.
What has Maryland done all it can do on guns? Or, I mean, it's been a leader, but is there more we can do?
I mean, the only possible thing I can think of is that we do more about how guns get into Maryland, okay? And there are a couple of loopholes that we still want to try to resolve. But I, this is one of the things nationally, as we talk about nationally what's going on. Actually, one of the best things that may have happened, by the way, on guns just happened. Virginia turned blue.
Right.
You know, Virginia turned blue because a lot of guns were coming in through Virginia. So maybe we can work with Virginia.
And guns
now
were a big issue.
Huge
down there
issue.
In that
huge
election
the, you know, look,
earlier this month.
You know, I got this lady here from Fadley's, you know, the Parsons, Kansas roots, looking at me. Yeah, we had guns. We had guns in the household. We went hunting. It was a thing we did. We did it as a family. But we did not require these automatic war type, you know, guns to go hunting. And look at this.
Kansas. Mr. Yeah. Bill Devine is in the house.
What's the name of your hometown that I can't pronounce? No.
You'll know some Kansas.
Neodesha. I'm from Neodesha.
Parsons,
yeah.
I'll see. That's like Dundalk and Highland Town.
It is.
I think it's...
So, a little but shout out. We didn't have to carry those, you know, look. No.
Mr. Devine is suggesting that his school beat Maggie's school.
I was not going to go there, but I think Neodesha were the state champions a couple of times, you know? Yeah.
But jumping back to guns, listen to this, man. It just blows us away. You mentioned the AK-47 type rifles. 600 rounds per minute.
Yeah.
600 rounds per minute. I don't know what deer hunter needs 600 rounds per minute. 40,
they don't 000, want that. 40,000. Because it runs the meat.
Right. 40,000 people killed in the United States every year.
I know.
256 million firearms. I mean, if this isn't an issue to unite us as a nation, I don't know what is.
I agree. I totally agree with you. And, you know, I'm at a point now where I just really, you know, I don't like guns. You know, I don't like guns. And I've had it. And we've abused it, you know, licensure in other states.
Don't have this problem in Australia when I lay on the beach
well,
there.
As we wind it down,
we don't.
You're bullish on Baltimore, right, Maggie?
I am bullish.
It's got
are
a bright future. Tell us why, real quick. Let's go out with
look
that. Why are you bullish on Baltimore?
No, because I told you, because as I go door to door, as I go to community, the spirit of the people, the creativity of the people in Baltimore is phenomenal. Hadn't changed a bit, really. You know? Hadn't changed a bit.
That's why people come from Kansas and never leave.
That's exactly right.
Nestor, it's been a great couple of episodes.
He told me I was going to like
Madam
you.
Chair, Delegate Maggie McIntosh. Yeah, I knew you
and
all
I
would,
looked at you every once in a while.
I knew you all would be kindred spirits.
I've seen the whites of your eyes. We're Fadley's. It's time to eat crabs and crab cakes now. This is the
look
good news is... We're signing off. We are Baltimore Positive at WNST.net. From Fadley's at Lexington Market. Back for more. We got Wes Moore coming up. We've got Dhruvig Nahraja a week from
Speaker
now.
Speaker Adrian Jones.
Sonia Sanelise.
Dr. Sanelise.
Mr. Harrison. And Governor Martin O'Malley.
So if you care about Baltimore, you want to hear in-depth discussions about positive solutions, this is where you want to be.
Time for crab cakes. Back for more at WNST.net. AM 1570, WNST Towson, Baltimore, and Baltimore Positive.